module is now attached to Destiny. Destiny is the big science module for the Americans. All kinds of computers, science equipment, big time. Let me drop it. Keep working forward again, and now you got to attach to another node. Another node is another dome there that has, again, six ports all over the place, and that's called Harmony. Now, Harmony is, it's the end of the line. If you go forward of that, you have pressure mating adapter 2. That will be the docking port for any future spacecraft that come up. In fact, it used to be the docking port for the space shuttle. Okay, so now you got that all in line. You're from the Russians all the way forward to the Americans. Now, if you're going to go to the starboard side from the Americans, you leave the Harmony mode and Harmony node, and you go, on a right angle. So you're going to the starboard side. That picks up the Columbus module, big thing, big as the American Destiny. And they have all their European space agency has all their stuff in the Columbia module. Now you go opposite of that. Now you go the other direction. You go to the port side, and you have the biggest module on the whole thing is Kaibo, K-I-B-O, built by Japan, brought up by the space shuttle. It's so big it had to bring it up in three parts. So that's attached to, again, to the Harmony node. Let me drop it. Right now, out of the run of that, you keep going forward, you have this external platform that was brought up separately by the space shuttle. Big platform, like a patio in your backyard with all kinds of test equipment and everything outside. And that's where you have a window, and you have a robotic arm that Japan put in there, and that's where you launch all your satellites, and they've launched amateur satellites from that thing and all. Okay, you got that. Now, if you go up from that, you have one more smaller module, again, by part of the Kaibo system by Japan, and that's attached to it, and there's another, that's the end of the line. That's basically your living quarters of the space shuttle system. The Russians have some other pieces that come off for docking ports and things like that, but we're not going to cover that. But give you an idea, that's the rough layout of what your house looks like in space. Roughly 10 of these freaking modules. And then everything else, all the other stuff you see, solar panels and trusses and everything, that's another story of how that's built. One other important module, which is a good-sized module, very important, is if you go back now, let me drop it. If you go back from, now we're in the Japanese module, Kaibo, go back into the node, which is the Harmony module, go back the opposite direction toward the Russians. Again, you're going to go into the Discovery module, and then one more module, now you're into the Unity module, and like I said, if you kept going, you'd be into the pressure mating adapter and all. Don't keep going. Instead of going anywhere there, you go again to the starboard side, and you're into the Quest module. The Quest module gives the astronauts the ability, they can sleep in there overnight. It's a big module, and yet there's another room off the side of that which allows them access to space, and that's how they do all these spacewalks on the American side. And it goes on and on. There's a permanent module that they put up there, another big one that used to be attached to again, this module, this Unity module. They disconnected it a couple of months ago and brought it over, and they attached it to the Tranquility module. To try to explain that is impossible. I'd have to give you a diagram, but it's all doable. We just don't have the time. Rough idea. There's roughly 10 modules that come back to you.
Wow. There's a movie somewhere. Let me switch over to the other. The channel sounds a little quieter tonight. There's a movie somewhere where an astronaut starts at one end of the International Space Station and flies through all of these berthing modules. So if he started off at the pressure mating module number 2, if he's inside of it, and he flew in one direction, he's going to go through Harmony, Destiny, Unity, pressure adapter number 1, Aurelia, and Zestia. He's going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's going to go through 6. But I think the thing is almost as big as a football field, or maybe even a little bit beyond. Wow. So I think I've seen a movie where an astronaut flies through all of those berthing ports. And the Kono International Space Station, probably told me once before, but I've forgotten, is it in the vicinity of 1 million pounds, Paul? WS2N, K2LIW?
Yeah, it's a 1 million pound thing, you're right. And a lot of different astronauts have given a tour of this space station when they're up there, but the best one, it's probably the one you're thinking about, is Sunny Williams, a woman astronaut. She was commander there for a while. What a job she did. She's excellent description of what's going on, and even the way she described the way this thing flies, you know, think of the front of the spacecraft as Harmony, you know. You get in there and you look forward, not so that where the Russians are, you look forward and, you know, put your hands out to the left and right, and that's your truss sections going out with all your solar panels on, and point your body forward where your head is, and put your feet back where the Russians is, and that's the way you're flying forward. Very good description, and she went through all the different modules, including where the bathrooms are located, where the sleeping quarters are, the multi-permanent module which they moved. That was like a storage facility. It's called the basement. You know, that was attached to the Unity, and that's the one that is now relocated over to Tranquility. And now you're gonna get mad. Where's Tranquility? But I can explain where all these things are. That's just another node that has the cupola attached. Where that's where they got a big view of a half dozen trapezoidal looking windows, and one round one in the middle of the Earth. So it's, you know, coming off of that, you have Tranquility and another bathroom. I don't.
Repeater. Time out. Repeater. Time out. Cancel.
And convert a lot of chemicals that they're exhaling and breathing. Quite a complex. Only $100 billion you could build one, Dick.
Yeah, you've named all of these modules for me, except I don't know where Tranquility is attached. I know where Columbus, Harmony, Kaibo, and whatever. Where is Tranquility attached up all that?
Okay, Tranquility is attached to the port side of Harmony. Okay, so that sticks out of that. And out of it, you now have, on the forward-facing port, you now have the relocated, let's get the name, multi-purpose module, I forget the name, but it used to be called Shuttle used to bring it up on a regular basis. Multi-purpose logistic module, I think is the official name of it. They used to bring it up on a regular basis. They bring it up with all science equipment. They bring it down, up and down, up and down. Finally, on the last flight, they said, you know, let's leave it there. So they rebuilt it. They stripped it all down and made it, they set it up for a permanent installation. And they created another module out of it. So, that sticks out of the forward-facing port of Tranquility. So you have three nodes. Okay, so the last node that was brought up was Tranquility. Out of Tranquility, let me drop it.
I have a question, Dick.
Out of Tranquility, the Earth-facing one, that would be the, you know, they call it the Zenith. That's where your cupola is attached to that berthing board. And now John wants to go back to Dick.
You got it, John.
Dick, I remember Paul mentioning a bladder-type module that they took up there, and it blows up, and it's, I don't know if it's rubber or some kind of... What module is that? Where is that located? Maybe you already mentioned it, but I didn't hear it.
There was some kind of an inflatable module proposed, and maybe it was installed. Give us some words on that one, Paul.
number 8, number 7, cargo resupply mission was the one that blew up. It's a SpaceX Falcon 9 blew up, and that took out the docking ring that they were going to docking adapter they were going to install. Well, that was number 7. Number 8, the next mission was going to bring up BEAM. BEAM is stands for Bigelow. Bigelow expansion module adapter. BEAM. Trying to think of the what it stands for. B is for Bigelow. Bigelow is the one that's making these things. They're making these inflatable modules. Someday soon they plan on creating their own space station with these things and eventually landing them on the moon and people can live in them. And this one is much smaller than the ones they plan to use for the space station. It's roughly one-third the size of one of these Harmony. Like a Harmony node or a Tranquility node or maybe 10 feet deep and, you know, probably 15 feet wide, you know. So it's going to be like a small living room. And when they bring that up, it's going to be very small. It'll be brought up in the SpaceX Dragon cargo vehicle. They'll bring it up. After docking the SpaceX to the Harmony node, not the node, Harmony node is the one on the front, and then the port that they'll be attached to will be on the Earth-facing side. Grab it with a robotic arm built by Canada, and they'll be able to remove it from the, there's a pressurized and an unpressurized cargo location in, you know, in these space vehicles. The pressurized side, they're going to bring in the food, the water, the clothes. People will be able to go in there and use it. But then there's the unpressurized side. That's where the robotic arm will grab a hold of the beam and attach it to the Harmony, Tranquility node. And there's one port left on that they'll be able to do that on. That's why they had a spacewalk and everything, and that movement tenors and everything last time. They were all going to be in the way of BEAM. That's all done. They got cleared the way for this, attached to it, and I guess they'll send a signal and it'll expand, and they'll do a pressure test, and they'll be able to open up the door and go inside and utilize it. It will be attached to the space station for 2 years. It's a 2 year test, you know, the way NASA is. Maybe they'll leave it after that. And they'll close the door behind them. You know, they'll go in there, look around, make sure everything's okay. All kinds of sensors and everything will be in there. And then they'll leave it and they'll close the door behind them, like the doors you were talking about before, Dick. They'll close the door behind them in case there's any kind of a disaster with that. They won't lose pressure inside the space station. But every now and then they'll open the door and go inside. Well, at least I have some more room, but it's a test piece of equipment by Bigelow. NASA is approved, and you have that work. It sounds like a real good way to go. Dick, over to you.
Now, BEAM, I presume its advantage is that it's inflatable, therefore it's a lot lighter. In other words, the number of pounds it weighs versus the number of cubic feet you get, I presume, is a very desirable ratio. But the disadvantage, of course, is it's more easy to have something go wrong. It's probably got a thinner skin to it. Is that roughly true? Is question number one, Paul. And question number two, these doors that you've got in between the individual berthing ports, you say the door slides out of the way. Now, there are people who have a house where the individual doors between the rooms, the door will slide into a pocket that goes into the wall. Is that the way these doors work on these berthing module interconnects, Paul? WS2N, KQRIW?
Once I've seen, you know, when they open them up, they open up so they have like an up and down in the space station. I know it doesn't matter which way they face, but they always open up to upper side, and it looks like a garage door. You know, like if you look at it, you can see that it's there. Now, some of them might, you know, be, you know, go behind there's tons of computers and gadgets all over the place. Maybe, you know, whether they fall behind, not fall, but, you know, get hidden behind that, I don't know. They're pretty big doors. Some of them might pull open. I don't know. But if you look at the one in Quest, it always opens and closes like that. That's the one you always see if you're doing a spacewalk. So the other ones always, you know, they're always open. In fact, for all I know, they might open them and disconnect them and leave them to the side. For all I know, you don't tend to see them. You see the openings, you know, every time there's an interview. And by the way, I was going to mention, I forgot something. But back to you, Dick.
When this door opens, does it open by sliding, translating, or is it open by pivoting as if it had a piano hinge on one edge? So does it open by pivoting, or is it open by sliding a pole? Or maybe it slides and then pivots. Over to you.
One that I look at all the time is in Quest, and it just looks like it flies open. Whether they have the other ones that are permanently attached, whether they might have disconnected them. I don't know. Just don't see them. I'll have to go look for them. I know they were there at one time when they did this. Everyone went up with, you know, the same kind of construction. So, I don't know. It's an amazing contraption, but trying to remember what I was going to say before about beam or whatever. But I mean, this guy plans on putting a space station up probably, you know, within 5 years. He wants to put two modules up, and each module would be able to, big modules, each one is much bigger than our Discovery module on the space station. I'll look at the dimensions. They call it the 330, so it's 330 cubic meters. That's their first module he'll be using. Now, this guy is not the first time around a merry-go-round for Bigelow, by the way. Back in 2007, he launched Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. They're both modules that you inflate, and they're both flying around in space. They're still sending pictures back of Earth. They're smaller, you know, than Beam, but they've been operating since 2007. Actually, they were launched by a Russian Proton rocket, and successful. So it's supposed to harden up. They say it's supposed to be like concrete with some kind of I don't know, bulletproof something or other involved. Nomex or I forget the material this guy is using, but it's supposed to be impenetrable.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Product.
When you send up that module, do you send it up deflated, or is it always sent up inflated and fully pressurized? And the advantage of a pressurized module is I'm pretty sure you save weight. Is the weight saving like 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 if you happen to know, Cole? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've read the weight, but the ratio, I think it's, you know, 1 to 3 type of thing. Now, compared to setting up what he calls tin cans, you know, what we send up are tin cans, it goes up deflated, and they attach it, and then they inflate.
When it's deflated, is it compressed to a small size, or they send it up approximately the right size, but just not full air pressure into it? So what do you mean by deflated, then, Paul? Does it fold up into a small package that you could stuff into your pocket? Having some fun here.
Looks like about one-third the size. You know, it fits in the back of the unpressurized area of the Dragon spacecraft. And that whole thing is probably, I would guess around 10 feet diameter on the inside of it. So it probably starts off as 10 feet in diameter and maybe 4 feet long. You know, and then it'll attach it to the space station. You know, on one side it's got a again, a birthing side, so that's got a big opening. I'll have to birth it with that. It's probably 54-inch diameter thing with 16 bolts, like we talked about before, and then they'll pump it up and it'll increase. Looks like about, I've seen the animation on it. I would say it goes from, you know, one-third the size, you know, all the way up to full size.
On each of these birthing ports, on each of these modules, I have the impression they all have a door on the inside that slides out of the way. Can that door on the inside take pressure in either direction? If I've got two modules birthed to each other, and if a module starts leaking, am I able to close the door on the inside of the leaking module? Can it take pressure in the wrong direction, if you know what I mean, Paul? Or do I always have to use the door that's going to be pushed toward the flange? So can these doors take full air pressure in either direction? In which case, it sounds like they're going to have 16 bolts on the door as well as 16 bolts on the birthing mechanism. And are those 16 bolts powered by 16 individual motors? And what do you do if one of those motors doesn't run? Over to you, Paul, KQLAW.
Yeah, you got 16 bolts. Each individual one has a motor. I have looked that up. But the door itself, I don't know, it looks like, and it was kind of flimsy. I can't imagine it going, pressurizing it from one side. You know, in other words, let's say two modules together, I guess you have a door on one side and a door on the other side. You know, if there's a problem, they would close that. But I don't know the answer, but I would say it looks like it would only take pressure on one side. They look kind of flimsy. I mean, it's nothing heavy duty like these flanges that these things are bolted together with. So, I mean, I'd love to go for a tour of this thing and get some close-up looks. But, you know, I know if I went for a tour somewhere, somebody would be asking, you know, how do they go to the bathroom? Where's my 16 bolts? How much is the diameter of each bolt? That's what I want to know. Is it half inch? Is it 3/8? Is it 5/8? I don't know. Is it 3/4? I'd love to find out. If anybody's listening, I've never made 10 cents in the space program, so just letting you know. Back to you, Dick.
Question, Dick.
Yeah, John recognized. My first question, though, John, is what do you do if one of the 16 motors powering one of the bolts doesn't run? What do you do next? Over to you, John.
Probably have a manual operator on it. But I'd like to know, Paul, are those hydraulic motors? And do they give you a horsepower on those motors? Give us an idea.
Yeah, I've read a foot-pound type of thing. I do have a conversion for foot-pounds, but I don't remember the foot-pound number. But no, they didn't give you a horsepower number. Nobody gives you horsepower numbers anymore. What a job it is. I tried to buy a tool for the backyard to dig up an area in the ground, and it was giving me, amperage, wattage maybe, and I had to convert it, try to figure out whatever. I have to go through a whole big thing. I found out it was 2 horsepower, but same thing with information from the internet. I don't know, John, what the horsepower would be. And they're individual motors, and what happens if one quits? I don't know. I would imagine they've got to be able to break out a socket wrench and do something. I have no idea. Back to you.
A good old Snap-on. Well, I didn't hear you mention, are they electric or hydraulic? That was one question. And we'll take that one first.
They're definitely electric. I saw a close-up of it. There's plugs and everything. Now, it could be electric over hydraulic. There might be hydraulics inside each one. You know what I mean, John?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good possibility, although that does make them quite a bit larger. But a lot of that stuff is hydraulic. Oh, strange stuff. Okay.
If one of those electric motors doesn't run and you can't tighten one of those bolts, I mean, we sit here and say, well, we just take out a socket wrench and do it manually. Oh, really? In order to take out that socket wrench, a human being has to be inside of that module to tighten that bolt. And if he's inside that module and it's not pressurized, that means he's wearing a spacesuit. I'm having trouble believing that we ever depressurize the whole darn International Space Station so a man can climb in there with a spacesuit and use a socket wrench. Now, maybe you can close the doors on a particular successive module. In the very next module, you close the door, and now you put an astronaut in there with a spacesuit in order to tighten that bolt. So the reliability of those motors, those 16 motors, has got to be awful high, because to do a manual tightening operation if that motor doesn't run, I think that's a big deal, Paul. WS2N, KQRIW.
Yeah, but Dick, it sounds like 16 positions. It's a little overkill, so if one failed, might not make any difference at all.
Well, I'm worried about the 16 bolts were calculated to take on these 40 tons of air pressure. If one of those 16 bolts is missing, I think your door in that area is going to bulge, and the bulge might be enough that you lose pressure on that particular seal. I wouldn't trust that door if one of the bolts doesn't work. Over to you, Paul, KQRIW.
I spent my life tightening up. It's just...
Maybe you could repeat what he says, Dick.
I will. Module. Biggest destiny. They wanted to unbolt this thing, and they did it. And not too long ago, you know, a couple months ago, and they relocated it with the arm, and they moved it over to another module, set it up. They have cameras. They looked at how it's lined up and everything, and they bolted this thing back up. 16 bolts tighten itself, and it does it in sequence. You know, bolts tighten up. They let them cool down, like, I don't know, for 45 minutes, an hour or something, and then they'll tighten it down again, and they'll let it cool down for about 2 more hours, and then they'll tighten it, and they'll engage the motors again. It is a procedure like that. And I thought the same thing there. I said, what happens if one bolt, even one bolt, you know, that doesn't come loose? You try to move this thing. You know, is it game over? You can't get out there with a saw or, you know, cut the stud. And now this module has been sitting attached to Unity for a couple of years. You know, I think it went up in 2010, one of the last flights of one of the shuttles that went up. It's up there almost 5 years. You know, is all the 16 motors going to work? And, you know, apparently, you know, everything went very smoothly, no problem. Back to you.
I presume you've seen photographs of these motors and bolts, the 16 bolts, Paul. If you had to make a guess, is the bolt half inch, 1 inch, 1.5 inch? What's your rough guess as to the diameter of that bolt? And do you think it's got a fine thread to it?
Yeah, there's no size given. It's not, you know, they'll put a quarter next to it or somebody's thumbprint. You know, you just don't know by looking at them. But, I mean, if I had a guess, it doesn't look any bigger than 5/8 to me, which is, you know, I don't think that's 3/4, 5/8, and maybe my guess is they're all using metric. I don't know, but I've tried PDF files, I've tried everything. I'd love to find out the diameter of these studs that come, you know, that these nuts are attached to, you know. Even if I get a look at a nut, you know, when you put a nut on a bolt, if you could even measure the length of the nut, if you take any nut, let's say a 3/4 nut, a 3/4 nut that goes on a 3/4 bolt, if you measure the depth of that nut, it's 3/4 of an inch. If I could at least measure the depth of the nut, I would know the diameter of the rod. Back to you, Kirk.
Paul, does it look like a standard thread, or maybe an Acme thread? What do you think?
It looks standard. It definitely doesn't look like a machine thread. It looks standard, like if you were to buy, you know, 5/8 rod from Blackman and Shapiro. It looks like that, except, you know, what, I'm sure it's polished, high, chromium and nickel steel that they must use, you know, super case hardened, everything. I would bet on that. I mean, naturally, it's all John.
I calculated earlier 21.5 tons is just the normal air pressure on that door. And it's being held down by 16 bolts. Each bolt has got to take 1.3 tons of force plus a safety factor. I don't think you can trust a 5/8 diameter bolt with 1.5 tons of force on a pole. Something's wrong here. It's got to be bigger than 5/8 diameter, I think. You can't trust even grade 8. I wouldn't trust it to those kind of forces. Over to you, Paul, KQRIW.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got a big surface area that is being attached. You know, depending on the strength of the flange itself, you know, on both sides. I've seen 300 pounds per square inch, 1 foot diameter pipe bolted up with three quarter nuts. You know, high pressure steam is just a different animal than high pressure air. There's a difference, you know, with the expansion and contraction. They don't have that going on the space station. I don't know. Just looking at it, they don't look that big. But I'm going to go with, if I had to guess, they look like 5/8. I mean, they're 1 inch, something bigger, inch and a quarter. I don't know. There's no way of knowing by size, you know. It's one of those, because you look at the thing on the internet, and I can't find anything in magazines. And but I can, you know, I've seen pictures on the internet, and that's what it looks like. It just doesn't look that big to me.
Have to write a letter to NASA.
I think you can scale yourself, Paul. You know that the opening is 54 inches. So if you see any portion of the opening along with a bolt in the same picture, and then you can put your calipers against that picture and you can come up with a good approximation. I've done things like that. But now, the physical arrangement of the bolts is the next thing that's bothering me. The actual opening of a berthing port is 54 inches square. That's where you can put a man or hardware through the hole. Outside of that hole, you've got one or two rubber seals. And holding that berthing port together with the adjacent flange of the adjacent module are these bolts. It's my belief that the bolts have to be inside of the diameter of the rubber seal. Because if the bolts are on the outside, then you got to worry about the air leaking through the threads of the bolt. Or you got to make sure you got a perfect seal around each bolt. That's too troublesome. So I'm getting the impression from my mental design, and I haven't seen the picture, that the bolts have to be inside of the rubber seal, closer to the center of the diameter, if you know what I mean, of the whole 54-inch berthing port. WS2N, KQRIW.
The problem is that when you look this up, you don't see any nuts. You do see the rods, you know. And it might be a good idea if I could make a picture big enough, try to scale that would be good. But trying to scale up the difference between 1 inch and say half inch on a, I gotta remember this flange setup is round. It's, you know, I know it's a square looking door, but you know, say the door is 50 inches for argument's sake. That means the outside diameter where these holes are probably, you know, 53. Center to center, furthest point, probably in that range. Now you don't see the nuts. You see, in other words, these rods must enter, and the nut end is encapsulated or, you know, almost hermetically sealed in this unit with a bunch of wires sticking out. And these wires, you tell the motor to go one way or the other way, and that's it, you know. And then there's probably some kind of sensor coming out of there, how much torque it's putting on. I tell you, a long time ago, I couldn't believe it's like 60,000 pounds per square inch, you know, force. I mean, I think if we did that on a regular flange, you know, not to worry about warping the flange. But you know what? They've never had one problem. I mean, they bump these things up, they run a leak check, oh, that's good to go. You know, you never bump things together and not have some kind of leak, some kind of little test. Leak that you gotta fix. Oh, it's 100%. It's unbelievable. Back to you there.
Paul, I understood you to say those bolts are going into blind holes. Is that correct?
Yeah, and then if you look at the unit, that, you know, with the wires sticking out of that, I'm going to call it the electronic wrench, you know. That's naturally, you know, there's 16 of them things that you don't see. But, you know, the ones I've seen were kind of like laying on a table somewhere with a bunch of, you know, like it was removed picture on the internet. That's what I'm going by. Give me a day's employment for NASA. I'll even work for free, and I'll come back and tell you. Back to you, John.
The actual bolt holes, the 16 bolts pulled, they're bolting together a 54-inch rectangular opening. Are the bolts laid out in a rectangular pattern, or are they laid out in a circular pattern? Is the actual flange a circular diameter thing that's on the outside of the 4-inch hole over the bolt?
Yeah, it's round. It's a square opening. But, you know, forget about the square. Make
10 degrees per hole spacing.
Lost somebody. I don't know what happened. Dick, over to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at my map of Long Island right now, if you know what that means.
Yeah, copy that. Are you going to figure out the degrees, John? Is that what you want to do? Wow. You know, the bigger the flange, the more holes you need, I know that. like 2-inch and 3-inch pipe you can get away with. 4-inch bolt pattern, that's about it. Anything bigger than that, now you're into an 8 bolt pattern. Anything bigger than that, you're into a 16 bolt pattern. And makes you wonder, anything that big, what are they doing with 16? You would think they'd need like at least 32.
Yeah, for that size, I believe those things are going to wind up bigger than 5/8. And I wonder if you sent them an email, if they'd answer that. That's a tremendous question. I was thinking minimum 3/4, probably 1 inch. And I thought they'd be acting through the standard thread. Well, interesting stuff.
The bolts are in a circular pattern. I'm guessing the bolts are on the inside of the diameter of the rubber seal. Is that true, Paul? K2LIW?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think it's rubber seal. You know, it's a seal. And it's probably attached to one side. So, in fact, the way it looks, even with the burping process, it looks like there is a drogue connection, you know, at first. And so I'm willing to say there's a seal. It looks like a ring, and there's a seal on the inner side and a seal on the outer side, and the bolts go right through the whole contraption. That's the way it looks.
Now let's back up. Back in the days when, let's say, that the Unity was up there and Destiny was about to be added, so you could operate the bolts that were in Destiny, and those bolts would be going from Destiny into Unity. Is there a second set of bolts inside of Unity? Can I tighten the bolts between Unity and Destiny? Are there two sets of bolts on each side of that flange? Over you, Paul, K2LIW.
It looks like one, you know, 16 bolts, but each bolt looks like it's from Destiny through a metal ring with a gasket on one side and a gasket on the other side. The gasket on the other side looks like it bases to Unity. I mean, that's the way it looks. They connect these two by docking it with a drogue type of setup. Now, once it's docked, then these bolts engage, pulling both units together. Sandwiched between it is a ring, a gasket on one side and a gasket on the other side. Gasket on Destiny side and a gasket on Unity side. And which side has the bolts? I don't know. You know, if it would be Unity or Destiny. You know, but it, you know, only one side only. That's the way it looks. But I'm not going to get a clear answer. I can't really answer it until I get an answer. You know, it's hard getting answers from NASA. I've tried that type of thing. And very hard. I tried to do it to even get an approval on the QSL card because they took it from the COBE, COBE, the COBE spacecraft. that's my QSL card, so, you know, looking at the galaxy. But it turned out everything was open. You're allowed to use any of NASA's pictures for anything. Back to you, Dick.
Comment, Dick?
I'm going to pass it over to John for the quick comment, but first I'm going to know, is the gasket flat or round? When it comes to high vacuum systems, sometimes you have a circular channel with an O-ring like gasket that goes into the channel. There's another kind of way you bring two flanges together where the gasket itself is a flat piece of elastomer-like material. Are these round, O-ring-like glass gaskets, or are they flat, Paul? Go ahead.
No, they're flat. They're flat. No question about that. Similar to the docking setup, they're all flat, too. No O-rings involved in this.
You got it, John.
All right, Dick, I was just thinking, you know, we're talking about a pressure differential that really doesn't exist because the door is capable of holding the pressure. When they put the module and attach it, then they equalize the pressure, which the doors can hold, then they open the doors, there's no pressure differential to worry about.
That's right, John, that's the way I see it, but there's a lot of pressure, otherwise we wouldn't have these tremendous pressure on the bolts. I don't get it. Dick?
Okay, I'm having your trouble with the mental picture, John. I mean, the pole. That these 16 motors are going to operate 16 volts to bring the two flanges together of a berthing port. You got a door on each module that's also capable of covering up that, that flange area. How does the door miss the 16 motors? Is the door outside of the 16 motors or on the inside of the 16 motors? Over to you,
Well, from what I see, when you're inside the module and you look at it, you don't even see these motors. You know, they're like in the wall, built in the walls of the of each unit. So you're not even looking at. That's what I'm saying. You know, to go out there with a socket wrench and a lever to try to either make something up or make some loosen something up. I mean, you'd have to start. Looks like you'd have to take the insulation, the inside of the wall apart to get to this thing. You don't see any bolts. Yeah, well, you don't see, on the inside, you don't see the bolts. You don't see the nuts that attach to it. You don't even see these electronic motors that tighten these nuts up. You don't see them. So the only time I saw it is they showed it on, you know, laying on a table, what they look like. And without a reference of size, no numbers. Nothing to look at, so I couldn't tell you if it was 1 foot big or 6 inches big. Don't know. Yeah, that's the problem, Vic. We're not going to solve the problem, unfortunately, unless somebody finds it on the internet. That would be good. Back to you, Dick.
Email the manufacturer.
Up till now, I pictured 16 bolts that go into 16 blind holes of the opposite module. And those 16 bolts are driven by 16 individual motors that stick up above the head of the bolt, so to speak. And if that's true, and now there's a door that can be closed from the inside of that module, does a door go on the outside of where those 16 bolts are, the perimeter of the door that creates the seal? Is that external, greater in diameter, greater in distance from center than the 16 motors and the 16 bolts? Right now, that door looks to me like it has an interference with those 16 motors. Over to you, Paul, K2LAW.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably, I don't know, maybe the diameter of the, the door is square. So it has nothing to do with, this bolt pattern is bigger than the door entirely. So how that's all sealed base. Or it's ever attached. Don't know. Maybe they go up there and only the door is there for an emergency after everything is bolted together. I'm trying to imagine how they do this. See, if you send a spacecraft up, have Destiny in the back of Fargo Bay, remove it with the robotic arm, put one side, and actually could there be a vacuum in it? I would say there could be a vacuum in all of Destiny until this thing is bolted now to Unity, then you pressurize it. What about that thing?
That sounds like a viable approach. the door inside of any one of these modules, how does that door get sealed? I know it doesn't have 16 bolts. Any idea how that door gets sealed? What holds it into position when you're using it?
Yeah, even on Quest, that's the one I always see. You have this square door. You dress up the astronauts, the two guys always going out, and then the third person is helping them put this, everything together. They push them. This Quest has two rooms, so in their module. So they do all the prep work in the one part of the Quest. Two guys float into the other smaller portion of the Quest lab. Then they close this door between them. The guy that helped them closes the square door between guys that are going to do the EVA and himself. And there's a window there, and then he looks through, and he gets his two friends out there getting ready to go. And then they open up a round door, and then that leads them to outer space, and they do a spacewalk. That's what you see. I mean, kind of unbelievable that, you know, yeah, you add up 14.7 pounds per square inch, and you put that force all on one door, you think that door would, even that little round door that they pull open and close, you think that would buckle and blow out, but it don't. I don't know, Dick, right?
Interesting stuff. We've used up our time. Fun stuff. You guys have listened to TechNet number 1571, and that was Space Report number 164. Kind to each other. We'll be back next week. And think of even dumb questions if you can't think of smart questions. KC2WGB, K2IW, go ahead, John.
KC2WGB. Well, it's up to Paul. He's got to get us an actual drawing of that spacecraft. That's what we need. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the net, and looking forward to next week. Have fun and be kind. KC2WGB.
K2RW, Whiskey Bravo 2, Golf X-ray Mike.
Golf X-ray Mike, go ahead.
Dick, 2 weeks ago you told us where we could find the brown Woodward curves in your articles. I've looked on both websites, and I can't find an article called Impedance Matching with Dipoles. And I need those brown Woodward curves. Can you help me out? Tell me where I can find them. Thank you. WB2G Golf X-ray Mike.
Okay, what I'm about to do right now is to go to the website of I'm going to go to the one that's called
Mike Number 2.
Mike Number 2, which is limeofftechnet.com. Stand by. Okay, on the limeofftechnet.com, you see a great big black and blue screen. Under that, it's got something called Yagi Article by WA1MB. Under Yagi Article, on the bottom of that one, there's got to be the two curves. Stand by. Yes. Yagi Article, just below, a few lines below the picture of Mr. Himbazuka Yagi, is the monopole reactance chart, click here, and the monopole resistance chart, click here. I wonder if you've seen those.
Not near a computer, but I will check it out tomorrow. Dick, thank you so much. K2RW, WB2GXM.
Yeah, under limeofftechnet.com, one of the very first things you'll see on that page is Yagi Article. It says by WA1MBA/Tom Williams website. But that Yagi Article has got the article that includes the two curves, and let's see now, maximum deficiency, TechNet discussions, might even be in the second position. Yes, under links to other recent technical articles, T-Match tuning procedure, it's also there, it's supposed to be there. I'm looking at the bottom of that article, no, it's not there. The article explaining it, how to use the Brown and Woodward curves, are under the heading of links to other technical articles and a T-Match tuning procedure by K2RAW. That tells you how to use those curves. But the curves themselves are under the Yagi article. It's not direct. It's an indirect way to find it, and I can see why you had trouble.
Thank you for all the great info tonight, sirs. WB2GXM cleared.
Isn't that amazing that that information, the Brown and Woodward curves, published in plain sight, 1945 or 1946, has been there for 70 years, and people keep rediscovering it after 70 years. People in the antenna business don't know that Chapter 4 of every issue of the Antenna Engineering Handbook, all four editions, have those extremely valuable curves, which are a lot more valuable than any of the other equations that are there, because the equations are an approximation. They're a cubic spline approximation, whereas the Brown-Woodward curves is the real thing. I think I told you about the time that I was in a meeting with a whole lot of people who are 10 to 20 year experienced antenna engineers at the Hazeltine, and I told them that these very valuable curves are in Chapter 4 of every issue of the antenna engineering handbook. Quite a few of those guys asked me, what chapter is that in? In other words, they had never become aware that extremely valuable information was there. They had never used it, and they were all victims. I was a victim also. It took me lots of years of being in the antenna business to discover those curves. Published in plain sight 70 years ago. Wow.
Great mysteries of the universe were answered this week on TechNet.
Now, we've already answered enough mysteries so far. There'll be new mysteries next week, Joe.
Okay.
There's always more mysteries. There's more that's unknown.
Disconnected.
As we're all finding out, Dick. WHYY. I listened to some of the TechNet tonight.
You must have missed that section where we told everybody how to get rich quick. That's too bad you missed that one.
Missed that chapter.
But it's all recorded, so you can play back the recordings.
Club with 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
Warning. The time is 1:25 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Warning, the time is 3:18 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Warning, the time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
Always uneventful,
uneventful with your trip up to the northern country?
Completely uneventful.
That could be a blessing.
Yes, yes it can.
Get out on the boat much? The weather was glorious while we were off.
Yes, yes I did.
You know, sooner or later I'm going to run out of questions to ask and you're going to actually have to say something.
No, no you're not.
I just did.
Right, so what'd you do on your time off? Anything interesting?
Well, I went up to Connecticut for a couple of days. A friend of mine has a summer place up there. We went up there for a couple of days. Got back in time for the Billy Joel concert at the Coliseum. Took in the Penn and Teller show in Manhattan. The rest of the time, just was lazy. Went to the beach a couple of times. Eating. Left. Ooh, that's a novel idea.
Yes, I did a lot of that. Did a lot of that. We went to a handful of concerts. We went to Joan Jett at Eisenhower Park. We went to an Eagles tribute band called Desert Highway over the weekend. I think we went, when would we go? Friday night. It was, we had, you know, a bunch of other stuff.
Did she, who must be a bae, complain that she had to get dressed in the dark?
No, she was off also.
That works out.
Yes, yes it does.
Yep. I did go in for one day last week. That was expected. Now it's back to the normal routine.
That's it. Back to the normal routine.
Although next week is going to be a short week. I work this Friday. I'm off next Friday. And Monday of next Labor Day, so I'm off that day. So next week's only going to be a 3-day work week.
So it's going to be a good-to-be-you weekend.
Yep. And the following week, we spend half the week in Temple.
To atone for all our sins.
I got a feeling you might need more than a couple of days.
You never took out sin insurance?
That's sold by the same people who sell AntennaWex?
And Super Strength Signal Cleaner.
No, I'm the green wire type of guy.
Anyway, gotta take out sin insurance. This way you can atone for all your sins in one quick and easy and painless move.
Gotta send me the email address of the insurance agent.
I'll do that. I'll send you the link.
So, that other 310 machine that you told me about, is it up yet?
I don't even remember. I haven't been keeping track.
Okay. What else is new? Anything?
Nothing. Little She is firmly entrenched. Already had classes. She starts her, on-campus job tomorrow, and things are good and glorious.
She got the sign-off for her summer internship, so she got credit for it?
Oh, yes. Well, she's got all the proof for her summer internship, the paperwork, all that stuff, and pay stubs, you know, so she has proof. So she got credit for it.
Okay, that's good. It's nice the fact that she was able to get a summer internship that actually was a paid summer internship. I know plenty of people who do that without getting paid.